I'd like to call to order the regular session of the Berlin Mayor and Council for Monday, January 13th, 2014, the first meeting of the new year. I'd like to invite everyone here tonight to join the mayor and council and decide the Lord's Prayer. Our Father,
who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name.
Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Would you please join us in the Pledge of Allegiance?
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
All right, get right to it. And first is the approval, number one on the agenda, is the approval of the regular session minutes of the last council meeting on December 9th, 2013.
The only silly correction I have is in the third paragraph. Leslie's name is spelled twice and different each time. I don't care which way we spell it. Okay. It probably should be the same each time.
Yeah, and that should be easy to check. So we're all right. Great. That's it. Sure. That's one thing I think they always said in the newspaper is it mattered more that you get the name spelled correctly, more than what you said about it. Because if you spelled your name incorrectly, they were mad no matter what you said. Okay. We have a motion by Councilmember Lynch to approve the regular session minutes with the correction of the spelling of Leslie's name from Big Crawl and Stern. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Okay. Minutes are approved by a vote of 4-0. Please make a note of that. All council members are in attendance except for Council Member Brady. Next is the approval of the executive session minutes for Monday, December 9th. Okay, we have a motion by Councilmember Lynch to approve the executive session minutes. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Okay, let the record show that the minutes were approved 4-0. The reason for the executive session was to discuss a personnel matter that affects one or more specific individuals. And that was the sole reason for the meeting. And next is approval of the work session that was held by the Mayor and Council here at Town Hall on December 16th,
2015.
We have a motion to approve the work session minutes by Councilmember Lynch. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? And that also passes 4-0. The work session, by the way, anybody who time to read the papers, was to have an initial presentation by the election board, the town's election board, with the proposed redistricting for the four election districts in the town. And we'll follow that up with a meeting with the Maryland Department of Planning. Hopefully, we've invited them to come as soon as they can get here. And we're hoping before the end of the month. And obviously, we'll announce that work session because it is the death of it to the public. Okay, next is item two. Mr. Joe Moore come for us. If you'll introduce yourself.
Good evening. I like that. I didn't do that. That's very apropos.
You can put it on your letterhead.
Yes, sir. Thank you, Mayor. For the record, I'm Joe Moore, 319 South Main Street, and I'm here this evening to talk about alcoholic beverages. Happy New Year to everyone. I have said, and I think that it is a literal historic fact, that since the county commissioners relocated their sales facility out past Stephen Decatur High School. I think it's a historic fact that for the first time since the repeal of Prohibition, the town of Berlin does not have a store where a person, either on foot, riding a bicycle, or conveniently driving their vehicle within the town limits of Berlin, can buy an alcoholic beverage to take home with them. Now, beer and wine is available, but liquor is not. The provisions of getting off sale beer, wine, and liquor in Worcester County are governed by Article 2B of the Annotated Code of Maryland. It is not something that can be passed under the law by the county commissioners. It has to go to the legislature. And therefore, any amendment to Article 2B has to be passed by the legislature. Now, there are certain ways that you can buy off-sale liquor in Worcester County. One of them, of course, is with the county stores, which are prevalent but which no longer exist in the corporate limits of Berlin. Another way is for a person to have a full-service restaurant and ask the Board of License Commissioners in Worcester County to allow off-sale of alcoholic beverages. But that requires a full-service restaurant with the sale of over 50% food and with an interior seating capacity of not less than 70 seats. The only other way that someone could make a request to the Board of License Commissioners for the off-sale of liquor would be to have a Class D, as in dog, license. Now, the problem is that the law in Article 2B limits the areas within Worcester County where a person can even request a Class D license, and that is limited to Ocean City, West Ocean City, Route 50, west to Route 589, and the Route 589 corridor in Ocean Pines. So, if I'm in Ocean City, or if I'm in West Ocean City, or if I'm in Ocean Pines, I'm entitled to go to the Board of License Commissioners and ask for a Class D license. I am not, as the present law exists, entitled to even make that request in the town of Berlin. Now, the Class D license also has limitations so that somebody is not putting together, for lack of a better word, a hole-in-the-wall liquor store somewhere. And a Class D license requires a person to make an investment of having 25 on-site seats for the on-sale of alcoholic beverages. So I have to make an investment and have a facility that would accommodate a bar with 25 seats. I am here this evening to ask the support of the mayor and council to simply have the legislature amend the law so that a person can apply for a Class D license within the corporate limits of the town of Berlin. That does not mean that anybody is going to get a license. All it means is that someone would be entitled to go to the Board of License Commissioners and make that request. And in order for them to have that request granted, they would have to show that the issuance of the license is reasonably necessary for the accommodation of the public. So I'm not asking you all to create any liquor stores in town or anything like that, but just allow the legislature to provide that within the discretion of the Board of License Commissioners, they can consider that in the town. I think it's a service to your citizens. As I have said, you know, the county has a very nice facility out on Route 50, but people can't walk there. Route 50 is an arterial highway in Worcester County, so therefore someone is going to have to travel there, particularly in the summertime, and the traffic on Route 50. If a person has an appropriate location in the town, your citizens could either walk to that location, ride a bicycle there, or conveniently drive a vehicle there. So I'm not even asking for anything other than the opportunity to have someone prove that their license is reasonably convenient for the accommodation of the citizens of Burlington.
I think I've been outspoken about this, and back in, I still feel the same way I did back in September when no one to this time has answered the question I first asked and first posed back then in September. And what justification is there for the town of Berlin to be the only community in Worcester County to not have a store available where someone can buy a liquor to take home? And why are we different? How is Berlin different? How are we less deserving? Why should people who live in Berlin be inconvenienced? And I have to say, I think it was gross misjudgment when the Alcoholic Beverage Commission thought that it would be no problem for people in Berlin to drive out to Route 50, go east of Steve-Nicator, pick up a bottle of liquor, then drive down to 589, make a U-turn, and come back. That might be fine tonight, but for at least 6 months of the year, and particularly on weekends, Fridays and Saturdays, the traffic backs up past Steve-Nicator. Somewhere between Steve-Nicator and usually the interchange is where the traffic comes to a stop. And I think that, and I'm always pleased and happy to see people heading to Ocean City, because that means we're all going to be here another year. Right? The county is not going to go broke. But at the same time, this is not a phenomenon that any of the other communities have to deal with. Even Ocean Pines, who has some legitimate concerns about and growing concerns about traffic on 589, it's still a fraction of what it is on Route 50.
Well,
and I really just do not, I have not found anyone who can justify why Berlin has been made the exception for a public service or a service that's been available literally since 1934.
Well, it's interesting, Mayor, because in Ocean Pines, Rita's is one of the facilities that has that. There's a traffic control light right there. People can come in from the Ocean Parkway, go immediately across 589, go right back into Ocean Pines. So even though Ocean Pines 589 has traffic, that's a controlled situation, which is not evident out on Route 50.
So I have not heard any justification or any rational explanation as to why we should be treated differently as a community. And I'm trying
to help you solve that problem.
I understand. And again, it'll be each council person.
That won't get us any revenue for the county.
I beg your pardon?
That won't get us any revenue for the county.
Well,
we're not paying any now.
Yeah.
We used to. In terms of the liquor sales, we haven't gotten any for a while.
How's that, Michael?
We used to get a check between $12,000 and $18,000 a year from the county for liquor sales of the liquor store that was in the town limits. And that's my question to Mr. Moore. Will that apply to a new store coming in? If it's a private, not the county dispensary.
You know, I'll be honest with you, I can't answer that question. If the payments are made by virtue of the sale of alcoholic beverages from the county, yes, it will, because under the law, as it stands now, it'll be changed in the future, but as it stands now, if a person has a Class D license in Berlin, he has to buy it from the county. So if the revenue source is the location of the sale of alcoholic beverages, then it would be reinstated, because it would be sold in the town and it would be purchased by the county.
Do private liquor stores in Ocean City Does the town of Ocean City get a kickback on that? You know?
I can't answer that in honesty.
Can we find that out, though?
Yeah, I can find that out. But I'm not in no disrespect to your revenue concerns. I'm more here to ask for the convenience of the citizens so that they don't have to travel out of town to buy it.
Have you gotten a response from the county? I see
you. Yeah, I have spoken with several of the commissioners. I have not gone to the county as yet, because if you all didn't support it, then obviously it wasn't a need for me to go to the county.
Personally, it's a no-brainer for us to support it.
Well, and I will be on their agenda as soon as they will give me an opportunity to do so. But I reached out to them. As a matter of fact, my letter to Mr. Bloxham, the county attorney, was dated the same date as my letter to the mayor.
Assuming the county gives you a letter of support, and we give you a letter of support, do you foresee this as a viable possibility for the summer?
Yes, ma'am. Absolutely. No question about it. And it's not a no-brainer, because someone is going to have the wherewithal to make the investment.
No, I mean on our part.
Oh, on your part. Yeah.
Give you a letter of support. I can give you I can only give you my opinion.
Yeah.
But I think it's in the best interest.
A non-emergency bill either takes effect July 1 or October 1. I frankly don't know how the legislature makes a determination of that which. But if it's July 1, then it would be the summer.
But, you know, time is of the essence, I would think. You try to get that done by July 1st.
Well, I must have the support of Senator Mathias and Delegate McDermott fairly quickly in order to introduce a bill this session.
So, yeah, I know you've already got that.
Well, I've got it as long as the governmental authorities in Worcester County do not oppose it. I mean, they're not going to do it for me and my client.
Right. And that makes perfectly good sense.
Right.
And obviously, I think the priority of coming to the town first, then going to the county,
right,
and then going to our state representatives. It's just the way you would do, regardless of anything to do with liquor or anything else.
Right.
Yeah.
And I will. I am prepared to go as soon as they can give me a place on the agenda.
I'm fine.
Yeah, I'd like to make a motion then.
Okay, sure.
To support application or discussion for Class D beer, wine, liquor store within the town of Berlin, Maryland.
And basically, we're supporting, of course, appointing
the
authorization of Worcester County to be able to issue such a license.
That's correct.
I just want to make sure we're clear on what we're...
Yes, sir.
Okay. All right. We have a motion by Councilmember Hall to support the request that Mr. Moore has made concerning the authorization of a Class D beer, wine, liquor license within the town of Berlin. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Mm-hmm. Let the record show the motion passed 4-0. And for what I would, if you'll just remind me, send me an email in the morning, I will be glad to provide a letter.
Certainly.
To that basically summarizes very briefly what we just did.
I appreciate that. And if I could borrow that to show the county commissioners, I'd like to do that. I like that.
Yes.
Thank you.
Chief, didn't William Tavern used to have...
Yes.
I thought so.
Yeah. it's amazing. This town has always been a place where people could buy alcoholic beverages, and it's never had bad fallout. We've never had even small type problems. It's just part of the local culture. And this is not Berlin, Mississippi. This is Berlin, Maryland. And I think we should be treated as such. Okay. Next, number three on the agenda is application for a special Sunday permit by Ball's Fish Room, American Legion Post 123, so that they would be able to have a Super Bowl party on Sunday, February 2nd, 2014.
That's pretty much the same request as back then.
Yeah. To my knowledge, it's the same. Okay, we have a motion to approve the application for the special funding permit from Boggs District and Mayor American Legion Post 123 by Council Member Burrell. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? The application is approved 4-0. Next is number four, approval of a contract for the Visitor Center roof replacement.
Michael, are you going to take it?
I can take that. Any questions?
Okay.
This is a little unusual in the fact that I applied for this in 2012 and the state kicked it back because it didn't meet green roof requirements. We went back and tried a couple other things and ended up with this DCS, came in with their subcontracted the green roof part, and the state accepted it but would only pay for about half, 20. They preliminary, we're just waiting for a letter, but they've told us we're getting $20,000 for this roof replacement, and they'd like us to pay the other part.
Okay, and is it just under 40 or just about?
Just 39, just under 40,000. Mm-hmm. And I know for sure, I've talked to even though this was done in August, the contractor and the subcontractor have both agreed to hold the line on the prices.
Okay. Now. Have you identified the money within the current budget?
Within the contingency, yes. There's a sheet in there in your packet that shows where the other $19,000 will come from.
Okay, I see now.
$19,200.
And DCS was the low bid?
They were the low bid. They beat Peninsula Roofing. And they're going to build the structure, and it's going to get the water off the roof. There's a small, slight incline to get the water off the roof. They'll insulate that, and then they'll put the green roof material over that to make it a green roof.
So what's the total price from DCS?
The total price from DCS is the total, $39,270, but they are subcontracting out the green roof part to...
Is this Carlisle deal?
Service Max.
What's all this Carlisle stuff?
That's the materials that the state accepted. That was the big issue. They were not accepting the way we were doing the roof. And Carlisle, they are the materials that the state did finally accept as being the green roof. This is not a roof that we're growing plants on. It's not a...
And Peninsula's $33,000 is not green?
They've added $5,000 onto that to make it green, which was
another... Well, that's still only $38,000.
Yeah. No,
and that's less than $39,000.
I thought they came in... Well, they didn't have the materials that would work.
Their roof is not green?
Energy efficient, I should say.
So I think what you're saying then, if I'm understanding you correctly, is that the approval of the $20,000 from the state was based on the materials which were included in the...
DCS's.
Okay. Bid. So it was either the lowest or next to lowest.
Next lowest, which was only...
But the only one that qualified in terms of the...
Right, was the Carlisle materials that they had. I think the Peninsula was just essentially going to insulate the roof.
Well, see, from what I understand, because we bought the building, we knew that we were going to need repair, and we knew that the roof would be the place we'd have to start eventually. So now we're there. But over the long haul, I know there's no specific timeline. Eventually, if we get the roof secure and energy efficient, then we can look forward to a heating and cooling system that is energy efficient and environmentally appropriate.
The bad roof has caused other problems down there, where they have the chamber has done some minor repairs. Mm-hmm. Drywall on the side is where the roof has leaked, come down and hurt the drywall and the walls and stuff.
Well, the best part about this is getting rid of that flat roof.
Yes.
The flat roof always causes trouble. This membrane, right, Troy, that's going to help prevent
it's like a lake.
Membrane.
If you go up there after if you go up there after a rain, it's like a lake up there.
Yeah, you got to get stuff there, run that water off.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I see your bid here says that PCNS is 35.7 on the cover.
I think we...
Because the timing of the grant bids.
Is that what it is?
The grant, the bids were received prior to the grant being applied for, so therefore the contractors had to give us an allowance of how much of an increase they might experience by the time we were actually ready to award. That's explained more in Laura's staff report rather than the bid documents themselves.
If we include
these are old, these old bids are old.
Yeah.
But they did commit to
on the second page of Laura's staff report at the very top, she indicates what the difference will be because of the timing.
Not to exceed 10%.
Yeah. So we could come in lower than this. If they said they were absolutely dry to hold these prices, but it's 8 months or 6 months later, since August.
But this membrane stuff, you see that the schematics on this, Troy? That's the kind of stuff they do use on those green roofs that have plants on them. That's some heavy-duty membrane.
If everybody's going to want to, I just want to make sure you get all your... I just don't want... See, that's the call you got back up and say, wait a minute, we didn't know. We didn't have a chance.
We asked them to give us the specs on a green roof.
Okay.
And that's what they did. They came back twice. They added the $5,000 to make it what we consider green or energy efficient.
But their bid's a year old.
Yeah, their bid's a year old. That's what they said. And the state really didn't like that either. So...
You know what I'm saying? I just think you need to get a fair shake. I don't think you have apples and apples. I don't think
it wasn't apples and apples. I agree. It was, we went to the state with apples and they said come back with oranges and we came back with oranges and they said
pineapples.
We like pineapples. They said we like the Carlisle materials, we like this. This is what we're going to give you $20,000 for.
Just as a matter of curiosity, and I really had trouble putting all these pieces together.
Yeah. It's not...
Obviously, it's going to cost us about $20,000.
Right. And you're getting $20,000 for the other...
From the state, right. To get a green roof.
Yeah.
Where this concept here that we didn't employ the Main Street coordinator for the full year, so that's where you're getting picking up your money. I don't understand how you can pick up utility money. Who paid those utilities?
Right now, I'm picking that up.
From
out of my contracted, out of contracted service. And we're trying to get a little rent money out of the people that are in there, and I'm hoping that the Main Street coordinator is working with the chamber on creating a store there that we'll be selling. That's next month. That's next week's talk.
Need a roof this week.
Huh?
Need a roof this week.
I need a roof this week. Next week I need...
But I really don't think it's quite honest to say you're saving 7 months on utilities.
No.
Because somewhere we're paying those utilities.
Yes. I agree, but I'm using contracted services. I'm scrambling to make everything work.
To get a green
creative.
And I would like you all to go down to the visitor center at some time and look and see what has been done down there inside, not up on the roof, but we have a meeting room now that I hope that...
You can see through the window.
Yeah, We are, the two ladies down there working on really creating a store, an art gallery store, be selling items there. We're working out the commissions and Saltwater Media is working with us on this to figure out how to make it all work. But everybody knows the commissions are going to utilities. It hasn't started yet, but we're getting a little bit. And we're getting there. It's not going to be overnight. I knew that going into this whole thing.
But there's progress there. For
sure. Oh, there's progress, yeah. There's definite progress. I'm really happy with the way we are headed. but it is a slow investment process. But we do need a roof.
Yeah, I wouldn't do
2 years ago,
any,
we
any significant improvements
in
the inside until the roof is sealed. So.
Well, how can that storm the other
day? Well, we had no water in there. Yeah, but I don't want to bank on that all the time. That was a heck of a
storm. Does anyone care to make a motion?
I don't believe we have apples to apples. I agree with you.
I agree. It was an apples to apples.
And if we accept the one bid, we pay $40,000, and if we accept the other bid, we pay $20,000.
No, there's no $20,000 bid out here.
No, I'm saying, but if we accept, the difference in the two bids is the one bid is being supported by the state with $20,000, the other bid, we pay it all. Yeah,
right.
But that's the level, and...
Yes,
but I understand that, but Michael is saying that DCS... Said it would be no more than an increase of 10%. It's telling us that Peninsula said that it would be an additional 5 or 8,000, whatever it was. I would like to see that from the companies saying that they have all the information and this is what their quote would be, as opposed to DCF updating their quote. So it'll be more current.
I think that the Peninsula will be higher because it's a year old.
Yeah.
And the other thing is, if we go back, the only thing I'll throw out here.
I just think you need to update your stuff.
I can, but I think the state's going to say we're only going with Carlisle.
So what are you saying? If we don't do something tonight, then the grant money's going away?
No. I've got a year on that.
Okay.
But
the states,
if we go back, they're going to still come back and say, we want this material on this roof.
I understand that.
Okay.
I really understand that. But has Peninsula been given that opportunity to...
I can go back and ask you to come back with another figure.
Yeah.
Where did this Carlisle stuff come from?
It comes from... if there's a distributor here that DCS uses, what are they? Service Max. They are a distributor of the Carlisle material. They're in Berlin, Salisbury. They're out of Salisbury.
One little I know about roofing. Could put in a large size thimble. I can't believe that Peninsula can't come up with the same. If they have the same specs, they can't come up with the same specs.
We can certainly offer them the same specs, but they came in and said their green roof was pretty doggone close to this a year ago. I'm just thinking they're going to come back and say it's 10% higher.
Okay. I think what we're going to do is go back, retrace your steps, and get back with the next meeting.
Sure.
Okay.
I'll send them Peninsula the same thing and say what we've been on.
And just take the time. We're decision time. We now know where we stand with the state, which we did not know before.
Yeah.
So, and let's see if they respond. I have to tell you, sometimes I'm shocked by how multi-million dollar projects and how few bids come in. Yeah. If everybody's complaining about not having enough work, well, I think you have to bid for it first. Just to make, I'm not talking about multi-million dollar town projects, but it's just... It's just amazing.
The only thing that concerns me about Peninsula's bid, which is a year old, there is a statement in here that any rotten wood will be replaced as a time and material extra. And
I know what that means.
If you got the same thing.
That's usually.
I know, but we don't have the same thing for the
EMS.
Yep. Right.
So can you confirm that and make sure that...
To get them to say something on that, because we don't know what's underneath there until they start.
They're not going to. DCS is not going to repair it. They're going on top. And when we bought the building, the engineer study said that they could put a second story on that building, so that the roof can handle the weight of the additional roof.
Yeah, but if you've got rotten wood in the original roof, it's going still got a problem. If you're even though you're going to build something over it.
Yeah.
Soft.
Well, they're not taking any, neither one of them were taking anything off. Peninsula wasn't taking anything.
Remove the existing roof down to the wood deck.
That's then they wanted to go back and just build a structure. Well, I can ask them, I'm not sure.
And it's really different.
Tor and I have been down this roof thing a number of times.
It's really different if you ask for a bid or if you ask for a proposal. Now, a bid, everybody is provided the same information, same specifications. Right. If you do a proposal, someone gets to come in and assess the job and tell you how they would do it and what they would do and that kind of stuff. So I think we're asking for bids here.
Well, we didn't know what the state was going to give us money for the first round. So, yeah, okay.
I just think you need to give everybody the same scope of work.
Yeah.
Here's what we want. Send me a bid back. I need it by next
week. Maybe you need to get Mike in this.
He was in on the peninsula, but the state said we don't like that.
Yeah, I was involved with the first one. I looked at the roof and got a bid from peninsula, and that was a year ago, I guess, and then I haven't been involved with the second one.
Because they didn't like that, so, okay.
So, peninsula on all states to use the Carlisle product. In the project. Tell, I think it's Allstate and Peninsula to use the Carlisle product because you know it's approved by the state that gives you a bid.
Yeah,
no okay. Prices.
Yeah,
I'll do that.
Yeah.
And we'll pray for no rain for another month.
I'll stop.
Just keep the buckets available.
Yeah.
Well, 2 weeks you'll have it.
Well, we've lasted this long. We'll
put you in 2 weeks.
We'll come
right?
back next county meeting to answer.
Not hopefully, unless they drag their feet.
First of all,
yeah.
At least you want to work.
Good job.
All right. So that look forward. Hopefully, all the information will be available at the next meeting. All right. Next is item 5, and this is approval of a stipulation and settlement agreement with the Public Service Commission, which are the folks that oversee the electric utilities in Maryland. Why don't you summarize it for the press and the folks in the audience and then as well as anyone else as to just go ahead and do that because quite frankly, and then I'll give my opinion.
Okay, so Mayor and Council staff's recommending that you approve a motion ratifying the stipulation and settlement agreement between the Public Service Commission of Maryland and the Town of Berlin. By way of background, the town successfully argued to include the PJM annual membership fee in the actual cost adjustment process we use for our electric utility rates. In January of 2013, we successfully argued that those PJM fees should be in the actual cost adjustment process. The Office of People's Counsel appealed the ruling. And as of the date of the staff report, no determination was made. Essentially, the issue is that the Office of People's Counsel believes that the PJM fee should be in the base rate, which is another part of the formula, not in the ACA process. So the stipulation you have before you settles this disagreement. The town had resisted following the direction of the PSC to move the PJM formula, of the PJM fee rather, because that would mean the town would bear the cost of a building case, which is expensive. And so to simply move this $5,000 fee from one part of the formula to the other part of the formula, we did not think it was worth the time and energy it would take to do a base rate case. Mathematically, that fee, the placement of that fee, makes no difference to the ratepayers. It's the same. So the key components of the agreement, I'm looking at page 2 of my staff report, the Public Service Commission of the town agreed that all the issues have been resolved. The town will include the PJM fee and its revenue requirements when it files its next base rate case. If the PSC approves the recovery of the PJM fee in that rate case, Berlin will no longer attempt to include PJM fee in its annual purchase cost adjustment proceedings. Until Berlin files a base rate case, the Office of People's Counsel and the PSC staff agree not to oppose or protest Berlin's conclusion of the PJM fee in Berlin's PCA or ACA factors. In other words, we get to keep doing what we've been doing. happen until the town decides to file a base rate case. There's no requirement for Berlin to file a base rate case by a certain date, and the parties to the agreement recognize that the town may not file a base rate case for several years. Once the PSC approves this agreement, the Office of People's Counsel shall request to withdraw its pending appeal regarding the PJMP, and both parties waive their right to appeal.
I summarize this as housekeeping.
Okay.
Because
well, they're like a 10%
of yes, yes. Well, I think it's a lot of sound and fury signifying nothing. That's my honest opinion. This does not affect any ratepayer from the town of Berlin. Rather, we put the $5,000, which is a very good investment, because that membership in the PJM of Pennsylvania, Jersey, Maryland,
the connection.
Makes us eligible to be able to get the credit that we get in the summertime when we gear up our peak shaving operations, which over the past couple of years has created a credit for the town of Berlin that goes directly to our customers of about $600,000. So as a return on investment, it's the best $5,000 we've ever spent. So the fact that they have time in Baltimore to worry about whether it's under the base rate or if it's under the, I just think they need more to do. So in any case, this is fine. If it makes this go away, quite frankly, we're hopeful that it was several years before we applied for the last rate case, which was a decrease. And I hope that it will be several years before we'll have to apply for any kind of rate adjustment, regardless of which direction it is. So anyway, that's, I just want to state that for the record. And not mad at them. I just think this seems to me a lot to do about that. And but I would encourage us to accept encourage the council to accept the agreement.
I will make that motion.
Okay. We have a motion by Council Member Purnell to accept the Public Service Commission stipulation and settlement agreement as summarized by the town administrator. All in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
All opposed? Okay. The agreement is now legally approved. We move on. Next up is the departmental reports. We're going to start with the Finance Director, Natalie Scalise.
Good evening, Mayor and Council. We are finished today with December billings and the bills. Today was our scheduled disconnect day, but it didn't go well due to the weather. When the weather drops down, we have to get an approval from Public Service Commission, and we regulated for the time and dates when we can disconnect. We have, I've mentioned, I guess, in last year, calendar year, that we started a research for a new updated phone system for the town of Berlin. We would like to make it a uniform phone system which would serve better each individual office and satellite office, and will tie all of us in one kind of network together. We've met with several companies, phone companies. We're in the stage still where we just gave them the information and trying to understand how it works and what would be better for us to have. There is no decision made. We have one more company coming at the end of this week that we needed. And I think we will probably meet with several before we kind of have our mindset of where we go.
Let me ask this. Once you make a recommendation for what you want, are we talking about something that's going to be implemented in this fiscal year or next fiscal year?
Next fiscal year.
So it would be budgeted as a capital expense?
For fiscal year 15, okay. Yes.
But the decision would be made far enough in advance that it's not going to create...
We would have a decision, or we have a clear idea of what we get in and where we go.
Okay.
So far we just research it. We have mailed in December 4,000 letters for it's basically we've advised, not advised, but kind of like it was a holiday gesture. We've asked people, and not only the citizens of town of Berlin, but every single account holder. So the letters can send everywhere, pretty much whoever have an account in town of Berlin, to help citizens of Berlin with energy fund assistance. And we've turned out a very good results with that. We've collected $2,800 from all around people.
Donations.
We matched the dollar for dollar, and we sent $5,600 to the Energy System Fund, Shrub. So those monies will be distributed and will be coming back to the town.
That's good. That's a very nice. It speaks well for the community that they care about.
What was the amount last year?
1,200 donations, and we've contributed 1,200.
So we doubled
up, but
it was better than that.
We were really happy with that.
That's very nice.
As sound as early it is, but we started talking about the budget and planning. So far, we're talking about budget and revenue numbers, and it's going to be the first time for me kind of going through the beginning to the very end, and Laura will be helping me a lot with that. So hopefully, it will get smooth and fast, but we started building that budget already.
Great.
Thank you.
Next is Deputy Town Administrator Mary Boland.
Just a few things. Excuse me. One last reminder, this Thursday the 16th from 6 to 9 p.m. is the FEMA workshop to be held at Stephen Decatur Middle School. This is in regard specifically to the flood insurance rate maps, which are being adjusted for Worcester County. Anyone who may even think they have an interest should definitely plan to attend. It will be the best opportunity for people to get access directly to FEMA to ask questions and find out what they need to know about the process. The mural committee met for the first time last week and reviewed the entries that had been received in the Parks Commission's mural competition. There were 9 entries received, a great variety of images that apparently our high school students find iconic of Berlin. So the mural committee is working with a professional muralist to pull the images together into one new mural to be painted in Stephen Decatur Park. Hopefully we will be able to start the actual painting of the mural during Take Pride in Berlin Week, which is April 19th to the 26th this year. And the last thing is that later this week, Laura, Michael Day, Megan, Houston, and I will be meeting with D3 to take a first look at some of the ideas that they have for revamping our website.
Great.
So we're on our way with that as well.
And one of the things, we'll talk about this a little more later, but one of the things when you're meeting with D3 and when we're talking with the prospective vendors for the telephone is see what new technology is available so that we can get information out in a variety of ways, particularly during emergencies.
Yes, that's also something that I really started working on in earnest today, and hopefully we'll have some information about that.
Great, because it would be great for, you know, like say, between phone response, website information, and then auto reply emails and all kinds of other things. You know, we just want to make it as easy as possible for people to get information when things go bump in the road. Very good. Next is Public Works Director Mike Gibbons.
Thank you, Mayor. We have our last Christmas tree pickup collection this Wednesday. That'll be the last one for the year, and we're basically doing winter maintenance on some of our vehicles, cleanup, that type of thing, painting the oils, and doing some painting on some of the equipment.
And of course, since our last meeting, we had a snowstorm and a severe cold spell.
Ice.
I've never seen so much ice so quickly. And it seemed that things went went well, considering what the storm came in on Friday and...
Yeah, it started freezing, I guess, around midnight on Friday, and then we started putting down salt around 7:30 or 8 on Friday morning. We were able to get salt from the state highway. We've been, you know, having an agreement with them to go over there and get salt, so we put down 2.5 loads of salt with one of our trucks and another half a ton with one of our other salt trucks. And by the end of the day, it was starting to thaw out pretty good.
Again, I think y'all did a very good job, and again, every experience, I think, gives you a little better, what I call it, judgment about what to do when.
They're all a little bit different.
Yep, yep. And Mother Nature just won't get into a rhythm.
The man on Broad Street, where they cut the culvert in Broad Street, put the new culvert in, and fix that drain, you know, across from the cottages. Yeah. He approached me the other day and said that there's been some settling there, and he doesn't think it's the town's responsibility. He thinks it probably is the state. But he said it's settled there, and there's like a big dip in the road. He says it's really bad, like when the dump trucks come by and they hit that hole, and it's just a big bang. Could you look at that and see what he's talking about?
State Highway actually did that fact.
Yeah, but I think it's settled there, you know. Thank you.
If I may, we have had communication with State Highway because there were some issues about all three of those patches. And the first two that were, that served the cottages are fine, but the State Highway has recognized that their patch has failed.
Right by this driveway?
And they will be back fixing that. I've also heard at some point the Broad Street will be paved, so.
With respect to repair, in the next few weeks,
I'm not sure. I don't know if it'll be weather permitting in the next few weeks, but it's on their radar. I mean, we had discussions with them back in November, but again, the weather hasn't been very conducive to.
Extreme colds and then back and forth. All right, well, good. Like I say, if you don't mind, just between you, just give us an update when the repairs are made. And of course, obviously, if you hear when it's getting resurfaced, that's always good.
Great.
Great. Thank you. Next, Jane, just keep on going.
Okay, I'll continue. We've been busy, obviously, with the weather issues. First, we had deep freezes, and a lot of people thought their water had been turned off, but unfortunately, their pipes froze. And so when they start thawing, that the leaks start appearing. And I meant to bring a picture, but just a friendly reminder to make sure that you winterize your irrigation systems, because several of those froze and then thawed out. And we had crystal palaces and several developments in town. But we did respond to about 35 frozen pipe falls over the last four days, 5 days.
But again, everything's been addressed that's been called to your attention.
Yes.
Thank you. Next is Electric Utility Director Tim Lawrence. You probably don't have anything to report.
Good evening, Mayor and Council. I guess the first thing I'd like to talk about is the outage back when we had the small ice storm, Circuit 230. We lost that circuit. What we found out, there was a insulator out on Route 13 right above Franklin Avenue, which comes out on Route 113. We found the insulator that had failed on that pole. Basically what happens is when ice forms on it, if it's got a hairline crack in it, it'll eventually start cracking and it goes to ground against the pole, and that's what took out the circuit. And we ended up repairing that and restoring the power. I guess the big thing everyone wants to know about is the outage that occurred Saturday. I actually received a text message from Laura. Her house was out of power, and she wanted to know if I knew what was going on. Okay, something's happening. So I called the police department, and they told me the entire town was out.
Whole police department, but electric.
Yeah. That's where all the calls go. Anyway, once they told me the entire town was out, I got in touch with Delmarva Power Operations Center. I had their direct number. And it took them a few a little while to figure out what had happened, but I'm sure everyone in this room, I would think, would know that Route 113 at AGH Hospital, five transmission poles were broke off. I guess some kind of windstorm, or I don't know if it was a tornado or wind or that type of thing. But some of these poles at the base of them, you know, they're a good, you know, 28, 30 inches around. And it broke five of them off in a row, two on the east side of 113 and three on the west side. During that time period, the town was basically out of power the entire time until they got the transmission line up. And then once they got that up, we were able to get the circuits. And we don't know how much damage we have ourselves until they get the transmission line up, and then we try to close the breakers back in. Some of them stayed in, some of them didn't. 210. What we found there was a tree that fell over at the South Main in between Washington and Bourbon Street, fell across the overhead line there. Once they got that cleared up, we were able to get Circuit 210 back up. Circuit 220, what we found there was a problem behind the power plant in between Main Street and going through that right-of-way where it goes back to William Street. Once they got that cleared up, they were able to restore that power. And then Circuit 230 at Franklin Avenue, at the Verizon building, the tree had fell across the secondary there, snapped the service pole off, and destroyed three transformers. Mm. It ripped the bushings out of the transformers. We had a total of three transformers to replace, a service pole, three lightning arresters, and a cutout. And then, I'm not sure if everyone knows, there's a scheduled outage tonight at midnight. Basically, what's going on there is during the outage, they had to sectionalize the portion of line from our substation back to the substation at Ocean City Boulevard.
This is double up the power.
Correct. Once they got that sectionalized, they had to backfeed us out of Ocean City. So basically, the line from our time point behind our substation heading west to the substation at Ocean City Boulevard, Route 50, that line was de-energized. Normally, it feeds the other direction, heading east. Well, this, to get our power back up, they had to backfeed heading west at Ocean City. So they did that, and so for them to put it back to normal, they have to close here at the substation and then backfeed heading east. To do that, they have to drop the load off the transmission line. Because they have two different switches out there at our power point. One's a vacuum switch and one's just a regular switch. They can't make the tie with the regular switch under load. That's why our station has to come offline. So I'm supposed to call their operations center at 11 o'clock and get our plan straight. We've already been talking all day today, which I've been on the phone with them. But I'm going to call them at 11. What the plan is, we will open our breakers, de-energize the town. I will call them, let them know we're offline. They'll do their switching from the substation here back into Ocean City. They'll give me the heads up that the transmission line's back on, and then we'll close back in. Now it should take no longer than 10 to 15 minutes.
Right.
That's what they're telling me on the phone.
And the worst case scenario would be
about an hour? Maybe an hour.
Okay. And that's at midnight?
Yes, sir.
It's a good night to go to bed.
Yeah, they originally wanted to do it at 6:30, and I was like, I talked to Laura about it, and we decided to tell them no, let's move it till midnight. So it's going to be at midnight. From midnight to about 15 hours.
Great, thanks. I want to also pass on, I thought that, Tim kept everybody very, get Laura well informed about what was going on, Laura then pass on the information to all the council and myself. But Tim was out of town, and yet, because obviously the modern communications was able to keep everybody communicated informed. But I also want you to let the gentleman know down at your department that it means a lot. I think they did an outstanding job, and they responded in a very timely way. They knew what they were doing, and they just did great. Now, what makes that more important is the fact that you didn't have to be here for that to happen.
Yes.
And I've always felt that you know what kind of department you have, or what kind of business you have, or what kind of, you know, organization you have when the boss is out of town and there's an emergency. That's when all the work and training and basically delegation of responsibility pays off. So it paid off Saturday, and be proud of your department. And you know, I think that really told us a lot about the status of the electric utility in terms of the response in a very serious situation. Please pass it on. Thank you.
And I think what's amazing is all that damage that you described, and the fact that, I mean, my section of town was out the longest. I think we got it back somewhere around 10 or so. But the fact that all that damage was done, and the weather that they were working in, and they were able to restore power, you know, that's amazing.
Thank you.
Thanks for coming in, Sharon, too, and answering phones.
Tim, you know what I would like to know?
Yes, sir.
You talk about these various circuits around town.
Yes.
Is there anything that would provide information as to what streets are in home, what circuits?
Yes, we actually have a system map that you can actually look at, and it tells you what circuit feeds down what street.
Okay. Can I look at it online?
I can actually email it. Is that something? No. I don't know if that should be shared on the town website.
But could you email it?
Yes,
I can. Yeah, I think that makes sense.
Yeah, just sharing.
Yeah.
Okay. I couldn't believe that power all came back up and all pulled down like that. The weather was terrible.
Thank you very much for that report. And next is Police Chief Arnold Dowling.
Happy New Year, everyone. We'll start off with New Year's Eve and the ball drop. We want to definitely go ahead and say thank you to our partners for making that event possible to be as safe as it was with us, MSP, and the Sheriff's Department out there. Assistance as always. Again, we had a good crowd, and the electric department and all other crews did a wonderful job. Again, if you ever saw how quick everything transformed from nothing to something to nothing again, we really are pleased with the outcome. And we actually had the opportunity to go ahead and meet with some business owners with briefings afterwards. And again, as Mike would say, we're starting to plan already for next year in that regard. As for the event that actually happened on Saturday night, three of our officers, not including myself, so four extra officers came out and one stayed later during that event. But without the Berlin Fire Department, the Fire Police from them also, Fire Police from Ocean Pines, Chow coming, I think we would really had a lot worse things to go ahead and talk about and mention. We had several cars go across that down line and vehicles were damaged. Once the Fire Police did get here, they got to go ahead and take care of the traffic control points where we were, and we got to go ahead and handle all the alarms that actually happened from all the businesses, the banks, the schools, and those sort of things.
That freed the officers.
Definitely do what needed to be done. The officers went out and they checked all the roads to make sure they were clear. It was so clear that we didn't have to call out public works. So Mike got to go ahead and rest a little bit on this one. Again, we had medical alerts going off. We went ahead and checked on the cottages of Berlin, and their staff was out there real quick, making sure they checked on all the residents and made sure that they didn't have any medical concerns and those sort of things. So we feel really good about the response that we did have. The dispatcher actually had probably 1,000 plus phone calls, and we definitely did notice when Sharon did come in and grab the phones, when Laura was picking the phones up, it was just a little bit less for us to go ahead and deal with during that busy time. But we're really blessed. Again, everything happened so fast, and the response, it could have been a lot worse, and again, we're just very fortunate that everything turned out with no injuries to go ahead and report.
And again, what a compliment police department, and the fact that you have a relationship with the local fire companies or other police agencies, where it definitely takes a team effort and the cooperation that you've established over the years. Again, it's an emergency, you find out what you've got. And so please pass on
come back to the mayor and council. Thanks.
We're going to be drafting a letter to each one of those agencies.
Great.
Thank you very much for the work. And again, we would have to echo the election department. If you actually watch them, once they got here, they didn't stop moving. I mean, they went from one point to another point. We went to the plant, and others said, hey, you know, where are the lines, what we need to look for you. But those guys, they're busted butt, and looked up the next day, 10 o'clock, they were still there. So, again, we can't go ahead and give them enough credit.
So that's one of the advantages of being a small town is that everybody can work together. I can't imagine large cities how difficult it must be to work on major crises. Whereas here, it's like you're working with people you know, people you trust, people who all know what they're doing. And hopefully the whole community benefits. So again, thank you.
Next is Human Resources Director Jeff Leewood.
Good evening, Mayor and Council. Just a few things. 2013 W-2s, you all should either have them, they were in the mail. No, each of you have given me a different direction on that, but they were distributed this last week, so they are out. We had an ethics session here today that was sponsored by Legit and Ernie Profoot from Kent County. I felt that it went very well, and we had a fairly decent turnout from our town staff. The majority of your leadership were present and other employees. February 6th, again, there will be a communication going out for that, but you all are invited. There will be an ergonomics session in this chamber with some folks from Iowa, our workers' comp carrier, or Chesapeake, as they're called today. And just FYI, Iowa no longer exists. They changed names and are now Chesapeake. Okay. And I will also be sending communication out to you all very soon with a couple target dates in February where I would really like your attendance when we get into the pre-planning for FY15 benefit year, health benefit year. I want your all's input going into it. From the very ground level, so I'll send something out as soon as I get some soft dates for the month of February.
Great. And this is the year that there's going to be changes of significance. This is it. So what you're going to be looking for us, you'll be giving us information so that we can make judgments so then you know how to proceed.
Correct.
What we can do and how we can take advantage of what's available and minimize some of the new hurdles. Okay, great. And that would, you expect that to be in February.
Yes.
So that's good, because then all those figures will be, as best you can, you'll at least be back to your relatively good estimate for the budget. Good. Excellent. Anything else?
Motion.
Okay. Anybody have any questions for Jeff? Next is Economic and Community Development Director Michael Day.
Thank you. Once again, Chief Downing gets ahead of me on the events around here, the New Year's Eve celebration.
We'll switch next time.
Yeah, okay. But it went really well. I want to thank all the departments, Electric, Public Works, the Water Resources. They did a great job. We couldn't have done it without them. The crowd was huge. I'd like to thank the City of Salisbury for having a big event over there, because if they had not had such a huge, successful event, I don't know what we would have done. Because I don't know if we could have fit any more people downtown. You have an updated event schedule for 2014. I've added the Birding Weekend. We're partnering with the Worcester County Tourism on this. They are expecting this to be the best one they've ever had. And in fact, because we're partnering with them, they are moving their big Cali Rally from Dogfish Head to Burley Oak. So
right,
I think that's
awesome.
That's a good thing.
They'll benefit from that too.
Huh?
They will benefit from that too.
Yeah. So yeah, they will definitely benefit from that. Last year we partnered with Castaways Campground on the summer camping season, and so this year Frontier County, Fort Whaley have reached out to us and we've met with them. We're going to partner with them as well this year, so we're really looking at the camping business here downtown during the summer season. Wednesday, the budget travels, coolest small town in America, voting is supposed to open up. We've been talking with them all since Friday, all over the weekend, and that should open up. We should be hitting the streets hard with that. Lisa Challenger and her guru media, social media person are on top of that.
And this starts Friday?
Wednesday. Everybody will be getting emails and announcements from us. We'll be announcing that. We're still getting a lot of publicity about it. WBOC had it on this morning. We were in the Philadelphia paper over the weekend about this, and it's just still going on about this, and I think we're going to get a lot more publicity about it. A couple save the dates. International Tapas Night will be at the Atlantic Hotel February 6th. This is a fundraiser for Victorian Christmas. What we've decided to do is have some of these fundraisers for the Victorian Christmas decorations and events that go on after Christmas in this lull that we have during January and February. And then the Berlin Chamber will be having their annual installation dinner January 30th at Waterman's. So that's my report. And you'll be getting notice about all of these.
Okay. That's all very good news. Thank you. Next will be the town administrator's report.
Before I get into the purchase orders, I'd just like to thank the police department and the electric utility department for their amazing response over the weekend. I thought it was just a tremendous job. And I also want to thank Sharon for coming in when I asked her to help up with the funds. I do think it made a difference. Ashley was doing her best to handle all those calls, but it was quite a few of them. So. We did our best to get the word out as quickly as we could. As Mary mentioned, we're looking at trying to get some kind of a system in to be able to notify people via some kind of either social media or mobile app of some kind. So we'll keep you posted on terms of
great.
So moving on to the purchase orders, let's see, we've got for January 13, 2014, purchase order 1656 in the amount of $1,485. To Environ Corp for monitoring of wells at spray site located on Lee Road. Purchase order number 1916 in the amount of $1,525 to overhead crane equipment for testing on overhead crane beams and installation of safety latches at power plant. Purchase order 1862 in the amount of $11,200 to intercoastal trading for soda ash. Purchase order 0516 in the amount of $1,225.35 to Hills Electric Motor Service for emergency repair of motor at Grand Avenue. Purchase order 1853 in the amount of $1,175 to EnviroCorp for December monitoring of wells at 5 Mile Branch site. Purchase order number 2056 in the amount of $2,995 to NITV Incorporated for pre-owned Dell D620 computer voice stress analyzer.
Okay, does anyone have any questions?
What's a stress analyzer?
Similar to a polygraph. It's actually the machine that Baldwin uses to vet people through the background process and any type of cases that we might need to go ahead and follow up with certain questions on, again, any criminal case that might need to follow up on questions about truth.
Is it different than the other machine?
And this is our second machine. Again, we did pre-owned before. It lasted 3.5 years, and it died before we got a chance to turn that one in. So we're actually at the point we budgeted for it this year, and we knew it was going to be time to get a new machine.
Now, are we buying hardware or software?
We're actually buying a prepackaged computer. So it's the whole package.
Hey, I went online and looked at this, and it's still analog equipment. This is not the most up-to-date version.
Because the up-to-date version is $8,000.
You want that more?
I don't know.
Right now, again, we're going with budget. Again, we went ahead and bought pre-owned. We got 3 years out of it and then actually did what we needed to do. We have the opportunity now, what we have been doing in the past, is vetting for all the other local police agencies that don't have the technology. So do background checks for Kokomo, Princess Anne, whether a other agency. If the investigator themselves that are at the sheriff's office are the ones doing investigation, they'll go ahead and bring that individual here to go ahead and do child abuse cases, whatever it might be. So again, if we had the money to go ahead and buy the new technology that had the longer warranties and those things, we would actually do that.
But this works.
This works.
And now, how about the training? You get two people to go to a session.
Well, again, he's already trained.
And
he actually was already certified. So what we're hoping to go ahead and get is actually the machine itself. We don't need the training itself.
That's kind of a package deal.
That's how it's actually the purchase. We went ahead and found out or asked if we could trade in our old unit, which was dead, and they said, well, we have no use for that. And we tried to do as we can.
So the $29.95 is a deal?
It is a deal. Again, if we bought the new unit, it would be another $5,000.
Okay. Move to approve the six purchase orders.
Okay. We have a motion by Councilmember Burrell to approve all six purchase orders as presented to the town administrator. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Okay. All six purchase orders are approved. I don't have any additional comments. Again, just congratulations to everyone for both the very successful Victorian Christmas with all its whistles and bells, and it just was great. And we were very fortunate with the weather throughout the entire celebration. The new year has been just one unexpected challenge after the other, and it's only the 13th. So maybe this is going to be a very interesting year. But in any case, I think on behalf of all of us, just make sure you let your folks know how much we appreciate how well you've all done during one of our busiest times of the year. And does anyone on the council
have anything? I just have something briefly. I'm on the legislative committee, and I was at the opening session in Annapolis last week, and one of the things that we've been fighting for the past, 3-4 years now is this highway user revenue, which the state basically took away from us, 4 or 5 years ago, Judy, and that's all the money that we pay through the highway user for gasoline, and we fought real hard to get a letter with some strong language to go in front of the General Assembly. And basically what we're hearing is, you know, that money that they're collecting, they're basically putting it into the budget, and we're not going to be getting this money back. But the MML is sticking hard to their guns, you know, and trying to see if, you know, there's a lot of money. And then the other thing is, I know I shared with you about today, I was in court all day trying to get my brother committed again, and there was an article in the Daily Times a couple weeks ago before Christmas about a follow-up on the St. Paul's story. And that's my biggest fear, is my brother does something silly like that or horror like that. And, you know, it's not the guns. That guy did just as much damage in that church as if he'd have walked in there with a gun. And a congressman out of Pennsylvania, Thomas Brady, he is a psychologist. He's also chairman of the Congressional Oversight Committee, reached out to me and has kind of asked me to help him get his legislation pushed through. Jim Mathias and I are working together to get a committee together of judicial people, families that have these problems, mental health officials, because the mental health laws are broken. I'm sure you could ask the chief. And the thing that appalled me the most was that $125 billion is spent annually in federal money to address mental health issues, and it's not being used constructively. That guy went into St. Paul's. He'd been in PRMC's mental ward twice in the past fall, and you saw what happened there. So this Congressman Tim Murphy, who is a psychologist and knows what's wrong, he's introduced last week a new bill into Congress. It's called Families with Mental Health Crisis Act. And what he's doing is he's asking me to reach out to people and to ask our Congressman Andy Harris, even if it's a phone call on a machine, to ask him to please support this legislation, because it'll put a blueprint out there for all the states to follow. And, you know, it's not the guns in these mass shootings that are hurting these people. It's the people that their families. I can't do anything but put my brother in the hospital for 72 hours. And he just got out of the hospital on Thursday, and I'm trying to put him back again. And it's a very serious situation. And I'm sure there's a few people in this room that know somebody or have a family member that fights this. And it's a very important issue, and I hope that you all will look this up on the internet and contact our congressman and ask him to support this bill.
And I want to congratulate you for taking the lead on the issue, because I totally agree. The mental health system in this country, it's not only broken, it's a disaster.
$125 billion.
And it's not just that, it's a, we have a reasonably coping mental health system until the 1980s.
The Reagan administration.
And basically they said, there's no crazy people. And I know it's not a polite way to put it, but people suddenly, if they're not getting the help, I'm aware of cases where people actually have to commit a traditional crime to even get into the system.
That's what the state's attorney told me today. You have to wait till your brother commits a felony. And that guy in Ocean City, that really has made people realize, you know, he didn't have a gun, but he went in there and did a lot of damage, hurt his community.
I commend you, and I just hope that, you know, this is something, everything...
Well,
everything has
stop.
To start somewhere.
Arnold could tell you, take the guns, you pass these gun laws, you know, they're going to find another way to do damage. It's not about the guns.
Thank you. And just keep us updated as these things develop. Thank you.
I can second invite the gentlemen's about the staff, because everybody handled the last 14 days pretty really well.
Thank you. And next any comments from anyone who's in attendance here tonight, or questions, or you wish to address to the council? Okay, do we have any comments or questions from the press? We now stand adjourned. Thank you very much for your patience.